Seattle.
It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. Secretary of State Kissinger is getting ready to come home in a few hours, ending his marathon Middle East mission. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Kissinger will be back in Washington Thursday night following his longest and most difficult mission yet, an agreement to separate Israeli and Syrian forces along the Golan Front. Details on the agreement are expected to be released after Kissinger's plane takes off from Jerusalem. In Washington, President Nixon was optimistic about the future.
Based on the success in reaching this agreement, in which the differences were so great that the prospects for reaching agreement on a permanent basis, I think now are better than they have been at any time over the past 25 years.
Officers from Israel and Syria are scheduled to sign the agreement Friday in Geneva. More news after this message.
When you think of long sports dynasties, a lot of great names come to mind. But Monroe shock absorbers have a track record that's hard to beat. Take the Indianapolis 500. Monroe has won 21 out of the last 22 years, including the 74 Indy 500, where every single car in the race was equipped with custom Monroe racing shock absorbers. We're the number one maker of replacement shock absorbers for your car, and we're the number one choice on the track. At Monroe, we can't lose, and neither can you.
There's something new for you on the CBS Radio Network beginning Monday, June 3rd. Newsbreak PM with CBS News correspondent Reed Collins as anchorman. In this new series, he'll examine an unusual story in the news or update you on an important fast-breaking news development. Collins brings to this assignment an extensive news background, including special coverage of space flights and political conventions and elections. Listen for Newsbreak PM every weekday beginning Monday, June 3rd on the CBS Radio Network. The House Judiciary Committee has wound up its preliminary proceedings in the probe of President Nixon's possible impeachment. Committee members disagree on just how damaging the case is against the president. Next week, the committee moves into new areas of inquiry. It will vote Thursday on whether to open some of next week's hearings to the public. In Birmingham, Alabama, Wednesday night, Vice President Ford repeated his call for the hearings to be open.
I will keep pressing the committee to open up their hearings so the American people can see firsthand what's going on. And I'll keep pressing them to call these witnesses. And until they've done that, I think the president's attitude is proper. But I think if they do what I'm suggesting, then it's my judgment that the White House, when we get down to the conclusion of such conducted hearings, ought to try and find an area of compromise.
Ford also says he can understand the position of the White House until the Judiciary Committee has established what Ford calls a proper committee procedure. The House on Wednesday voted to do away with the Office of Economic Opportunity, the agency known as the government's War on Poverty arm. But the House action would keep many OEO community action programs alive, transferring them to the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. The Senate must act by June 30th to keep these programs. President Nixon left all OEO funding out of his budget. President Nixon Wednesday night took 11 congressmen for a dinner cruise on the Potomac River aboard the presidential yacht Sequoia. A White House spokesman said the president wanted to get together with a group of friends. Most of the congressmen invited on the cruise are conservatives. Quoting authoritative sources, the Associated Press reports that large amounts of money, possibly millions of dollars, are being drained from American aid programs in South Vietnam into the pockets of South Vietnamese officers. AP says its sources say the Vietnamese officers are pocketing the money, somewhere around $15 million a year, in pay for soldiers who enlist on paper only or never show up for duty. AP says at least one general allegedly took up to $20,000 over a five-month period last year. Now this.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sinoff, the sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And Sinoff doesn't stop there. Have you tried Sinoff Sinus Spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's Sinoff Sinus Spray. When sinus flares up, use Sinoff tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff.
Exactly.
The stock market took a big beating Wednesday. The Dow Jones Industrials falling nearly 19 points and closing below the 800 mark at 795.37. Analysts say the good news of a Middle East troop separation agreement had been expected and was not enough of a surprise on Wall Street. One expert says the key things affecting the market right now are high interest rates and inflation. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for the Great Northwest, KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle. The weather outlook for Seattle, Tacoma, Everdon vicinity. Night and morning low clouds with local drizzle or occasional light rain. Otherwise, variable cloudiness tomorrow and Friday, with a chance of showers increasing, especially Friday. Low temperatures tonight and tomorrow night in the upper 40s, with highs tomorrow and Friday in the low 60s. South to southwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour with higher afternoon gusts. 51 degrees downtown, 54 at SeaTac. The KIXI CBS Mystery Theater is brought to you in part by your friendly Tradewell store.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Do come in. Make yourself comfortable because I'm going to tell you a nice, quiet little ghost story. Nothing to frighten you. Not badly, at any rate. Nothing to make you run screaming into the street. No, the most this ghost story can do is make you snuggle down deeper under the covers and reach out for a hand to hold. A hand, I trust, that is firm and warm, not clammy and cold.
There are some who don't take too well to the idea of dying.
I can't say that I do myself.
No, you look to me like one that would go quietly.
Do I really?
No fuss, no bother. Take it for what it is. The logical end to life. But those others, oh, look out for them.
I don't think I know what you mean. What others?
The ones that don't find death logical at all.
Our mystery drama, The Phantom Lullaby, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elspeth Eric and stars Rosemary Murphy and Arnold Moss. It is sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour allergy capsule, and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
To your love.
But give your allergy to Contact.
Allergy is our business, too. We know pollen. We know that any of the 12,000 quarts of air you breathe each day may contain enough pollen to make your eyes itch, make you sneeze, and drip. We also know an ingredient that helps block pollen's bad effects. It's the antihistamine most prescribed by allergy specialists. It's an ingredient in Contact.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
To your love.
Tiny time pills in one Contact keep this antihistamine working up to 12 full hours, all day, all night.
Give your allergies to Contact.
Take Contact only when needed, only as directed.
Project Hope is reaching out, bringing hope to more countries around the world this year than ever before. Newest addition to Hope's international programs is Ethiopia, where Project Hope's doctors, nurses, and other medical specialists will be working side by side with Ethiopians, teaching while they treat. Since 1960, Hope has trained more than 7,000 physicians, dentists, nurses, and other healthcare personnel, has helped establish new schools of nursing, dentistry, and physical therapy in several countries, and assisted in the development of hospitals, teaching institutions, and public health services. Hope's work has been heralded by heads of many nations, its services requested by many, many more.
Hope is training and sharing. Hope is treating and caring. Health is what Hope's all about. Help Project Hope reach out.
Help Hope reach out. Write Project Hope, Room A, Washington, D.C.
I myself have never met a ghost. I don't know why. Perhaps something in my personality puts them off. But if ever I should, I hope you'll do something more than moan and sigh and clank chains. What I should really enjoy would be a nice chatty ghost. Would sit down and talk things over. Things like whether the life after death is really pleasanter than the one before. And if it is, why is it? Things like that. Things that only a ghost would know. Ah, well. Perhaps one fine day, or some dark night, if I hold myself in readiness, my ghost will visit me. Meantime, relax, won't you? And listen.
Hello? Intercoastal Airlines? Well, can you tell me your flight 509 from New York is on time? Yeah, I'll hold on.
Ellen's room is finished.
Good.
I've ordered new curtains. Oh, I hope she likes her room.
Oh, I'm sure she will. I'm sure she... Yes? Oh, it is. Well, good, good. Thank you very much. Plane's on time.
Well, you better get started then.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't be nervous.
I'm not nervous.
It'll only make her nervous if you're nervous. What are you in the closet for?
My overcoat.
It's on the chair.
Oh.
She's only been away 4 days.
It's not a question of how long she's been away. It's what she went away for.
I know that.
Well, then why say a foolish thing like only 4 days?
Please, please. I'm nervous, too.
Well, what do you think you're doing now?
This couch shouldn't be here. It should be over there.
That's an 8-foot couch. Don't try to move it by yourself.
I can do it.
Let me have the superintendent, please. Emily, will you stop that? I'd help you, but I have to get going. I don't want Ellen standing around the airport. Hello? This is Mr. Keene, Penthouse B. Yeah, we just moved in. We're not quite settled in yet, and I have to go to the airport to pick up my daughter. Could you possibly help my wife move a few pieces of furniture? No, we want the place to look extra nice. Our daughter's never seen it, and... Oh, that's great. That's just great. Thank you. Thank you very much. You'll be up in a couple of minutes.
Howard, do you think Ellen will like this apartment?
Well, I certainly hope so. It's costing an arm and a leg.
But with the terrace and everything, her own bathroom, a real dining room.
Well, the idea is to give her a change, new surroundings, blot out everything that happened.
As if a terrace and her own bathroom could take her mind off that terrible man.
Well, they'll help. I'm not saying completely, but they'll help. Give us something to think about besides John Draper and the rest of it.
Seems strange we never even met him.
I hope I never do meet him. Well, honey, I gotta get going.
Don't tell Ellen about this place. Let it be a surprise. And Howard, be very, you know, gentle with her. Let her know we love her.
Yeah, I'll let her know. Well, I'm off. Oh, you're the superintendent.
Yeah.
I didn't hear you knock.
I was just getting ready to.
Well, come in. This is my wife. She'll show you what she wants done. Oh, and here's something for your trouble.
Oh, okay.
Honey, I'll be back in an hour.
Good luck.
Take care.
Well, now.
You like this place?
Oh, I'm sure we will like it. We just moved in.
I know. It's a nice-looking apartment with a terrace and all.
First thing I want to do is move the couch over there to the long wall.
Everybody likes this place when they first move in.
If you take one end and I take the other.
1, 2, 3 months, then they start getting jumpy.
Jumpy?
Mm. They pay up what they owe on the lease and they move out.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, it happens every time. Well, let's move this thing if we're going to.
Let me move the coffee table first.
Oh, I'll do it. How'd you happen to hear it was vacant?
Well, actually, friends of ours called us. They met some people at a party who said they were giving up this beautiful apartment, and we thought...
That would be the Winthrops. Yeah, they lasted 6 months. Where do you want this table?
Right where you're standing.
Okay. And before them was the Katzes, and before them the Millbrooks, and before them the Kramers, and before them...
Well, why did they all move out? What's wrong with the place?
Search me. They would never say any of them. Just paid up and moved out. You know what I think?
What?
I think the joint's haunted. Now, where does the couch go?
Enter, young lady.
Ellen. Darling, it's so good to have you back.
I'll put the suitcase in the bedroom.
When you see your bedroom, darling, make allowances for the curtains. I had to put up your old ones, and they're too short, but I'm expecting new ones, maybe today. But I got you a new bed. Oh, heavens, the fuss they made about delivering it. So, what do you think? Do you like the apartment?
It's very nice.
Come, look at the view from the terrace. Come on. You can see for miles. Isn't that spectacular?
Spectacular.
Well, you can take a good look at it later. What would you like to do now?
I don't know.
Take a hot bath? You have your own bathroom now.
Really? Do I?
Or would you like to just sit and talk?
All right. If you want to.
Ellen, was the operation very bad?
You mean the abortion? No. It wasn't bad at all.
I'm glad of that.
I opened your suitcase, let a little air in, huh? I didn't unpack anything, though.
I'll do it.
You want to do that now, dear? Maybe take that hot bath, and I'll start lunch, and then when it's ready, I'll call you.
All right.
Is the door on the right? Oh, here, I'll show you.
I'll find it.
And the bathroom opens right off of it. Howard, what's wrong with her?
I don't know, she was like that all the way in from the airport.
Like a sleepwalker.
Like a zombie.
Howard?
I'm making us a drink.
We need it.
How is she?
I guess she's all right.
Here's your drink.
She's lying on the bed, just staring at the ceiling. I spoke to her, but she didn't answer me. So I didn't bother her.
That horrible man, he did this to her.
I wish she'd talked to me about him. But she never did say much, except that she was seeing him a lot. And then when she told me she was pregnant, she said he didn't want to marry her, so she guessed she'd have an abortion.
Just like that.
Things have changed, though. The young people nowadays...
And the parents nowadays.
I guess so.
I should have insisted. I should have put my foot down, absolutely insisted.
Insisted on what?
Well, at least on meeting the guy, at least that.
That's not the way things are done these days.
Well, they should be. Look, do you think I ought to get in touch with him now?
Now? It's too late
now.
Well,
we can't just leave her the way she is, walking around like an automaton. Maybe he could... Oh, I don't know, maybe he could snap her out of it or something.
Maybe she'll snap out of it by herself.
If she was really in love with him...
She said she wasn't.
Well, maybe she was. Maybe she was and didn't know it. Anyway, I think he ought to see what he's done.
What good would that do?
I don't know. Why don't you go and see if she's all right?
I don't like to disturb her.
Well, just knock on the door and see if she answers.
All right.
Well, the state she's in...
Ellen?
Oui, Mama.
I don't want to disturb you, dear, but I just want to make sure everything's all right.
Tout va bien.
I guess she's all right. Anyway, she answered me.
What did she say?
I couldn't make it out, but she sounded fine.
Well, that's good. Maybe it was just
shock or something before.
Probably that was it.
Emily, if you get to talking to her, if she'll talk to you...
Oh, she will.
Ask her about this man. Hmm? What's his name again?
John Draper.
Yeah, ask her how she feels about him. You know, if she thinks about him, wants to call him up or anything, you tell her that it's all right with us.
Howard, she doesn't care if it's all right with us. Young people don't these days. They just go ahead and do what they want to do.
Well, do you realize we don't know anything about this man? What does he do for a living, if anything?
He plays the piano. I think he gives lessons.
Where does he live?
Over on Market Street, I think.
Yeah, that figures. Has he got a phone?
I imagine so. I don't know.
Well, if he gives lessons, he's got to have a phone. It's got to be in the book. I think so. Anyway, here he is. Look. John Draper, 121 Market.
You're not going to call him?
No, I'm not going to call him. I just want to know that he's alive and breathing somewhere in this town. If Ellen isn't better by tomorrow or the next day...
Howard, she will be.
Go knock on the door again, will you?
What'll I say?
Say anything. Say we're having a drink out here. Why doesn't she join us?
All right, if you say so.
But keep it light and, you know, cheerful.
Ellen, dear, your father and I are having a drink. Don't you want to join us?
Oh, maintenant.
How's that, dear?
Je suis occupée.
Well, whenever you're ready, we'd love to have you. I think a drink would do you good. Whenever you're ready. I guess she's all right.
But did she say she was all right?
I don't know what she said.
What do you mean you don't know what she said?
Ellen!
Are you all right, baby?
Je regrette, mais je ne peux pas vous joindre pour le moment. Je dois m'occuper de ces garçons. Excusez-moi, s'il vous plaît.
Howard.
Why, I didn't know she could speak French.
She can't.
Well, she just did. I understand enough French to know that.
What did she say? Could you tell?
Well, she said she couldn't join us just now because she had to take care of the little boy.
Do you agree with Anthony Trollope that the chief duty a parent owes a child is to make the child happy? I think I do. And I think in their more beneficent moods, most people do. Why, then, are there so many bitterly unhappy children? We may find out when I return shortly with Act Two.
Buick introduces a new concept for you to consider in light of all the concern about miles per gallon. Range. Range is what you get when you multiply the mileage your car gets per gallon by the number of gallons your car's gas tank holds. Range is one of the things that help make Buick Apollo such a special small car. It comes from coupling the Apollo's economical six-cylinder engine with a standard 21-gallon gas tank. It holds a lot, but it doesn't use a lot. Look into the Apollo. It's the Buick of small cars.
There's a grand opening celebration this week at your friendly Tradewell stores. All Tradewells are joining together to celebrate the grand opening of three new Tradewell stores. These new Tradewells, formerly A&P stores, are at 4732 California Avenue Southwest in West Seattle, 550 Fifth Avenue in Edmonds, and in Bellingham at 1825 Cornwall. Here are some of the grand opening specials at all Tradewells. Beef blade pot roast, 58 cents a pound. Fresh ground beef at 75 cents a pound. Skippy peanut butter, creamy or chunky, 18-ounce jar, 69 cents. Red ripe tomatoes, 29 cents a pound. Shop your friendly Tradewell for quality with economy. And join in the grand opening celebration at all Tradewell stores.
Thank you.
Helen Keene, only daughter of Howard and Emily Keene, came home a little while ago after the removal of an incipient life from her body. In the new penthouse apartment her parents have rented in an anxious effort to lift her spirits, she has just now delivered her longest utterance since she arrived.
Je regrette, mais je ne peux pas vous joindre pour le moment. Je dois m'occuper du petit garçon. Excusez-moi, s'il vous plaît.
Howard?
Why, I didn't know she could speak French.
She can't.
Well, she just did. I understand enough French to know that.
What did she say? Could you tell?
Well, she said she couldn't join us just now because she had to take care of the little boy.
What little boy?
Well, how should I know what little boy?
How had the operations affected her mind?
No, don't say that. That's not true.
It must have meant more to her than we knew.
How could we know she acted as though it was nothing?
That's how young people are these days.
I'm going to call that man.
John Draper? What good would that do?
He ought to know what he's done.
Howard, it isn't right to blame it all on him.
I don't care. There, here. Here's his number.
I don't see why you think he can help.
Well, maybe she still loves him. Maybe he can get through to her. Maybe.
Hello?
Mr. Draper? John Draper?
Yes?
I'm Howard Keene, Ellen Keene's father.
Yes?
Ellen came home a little while ago. I thought you might like to know.
How is she? Is she all right?
No, she's not all right.
What's the trouble? They didn't hurt her, did they?
Physically, she seems to be all right, but otherwise, she's not.
I'm glad you called me. What can I do?
My wife and I thought it might help if you came to see her.
Why, of course, right now?
If you can.
I'll have to cancel some lessons, but I'll be there as soon as I can.
Oh, hold on just a minute. We've moved to a new place.
Oh? You've moved?
Yes, we took a penthouse on the spur of the moment, just moved in this morning. It's at 42 Cedar Terrace. Do you know where that is?
42 Cedar Terrace?
Yes, penthouse B. Have you got that? Hello? Mr. Draper, are you there? Hello?
I'm sorry, Mr. Keene, but I'm afraid I won't be able to get there after all. Give Ellen my love.
Hello? Mr. Draper? Hello?
Howard?
I don't get it. He was very nice, very concerned about Ellen. He wanted to help. He wanted to come to see her right away, and then... And all of a sudden, when I gave him the address, he made a sudden switch and he said he was sorry. He couldn't.
Why would he do that?
Thought it over, I guess. Decided he wanted no part of it.
But you said he sounded nice at first.
He's not going to get away with it.
Howard, what are you going to do?
What was his address again? It's right there in the phone book. I'm going to get him to see Ellen if I have to drag him here. Oh, what's the address?
121 Market Street. Howard, I wish you wouldn't go.
I'll be back in half an hour. You stay right here.
You think I should call Dr. Stone?
No, not yet. Well, what could we say to him? That our daughter talks to us in French when she doesn't know any French? That she says she has to take care of a little boy when there isn't any little boy? Now, you just stay here with her, and I don't think she'll get violent or anything like that, and I'll be back in half an hour with Mr. John Draper.
Dear. Ellen? Ellen, honey? Ellen, don't you want to come out now and have some lunch? I could fix us both a sandwich and some soup.
Je suis occupée.
We haven't had a chance to talk.
Va donc, maman.
You're sure you're all right?
Tout va bien, maman.
That's the phone buzzer from downstairs, dear. I have to answer it. Yes?
This is Super Mrs. Keene. I got a big package down here for you.
Package? What kind of package?
Well, it's big. It's from, Standish Decorators.
Oh. It must be the curtains for my daughter's room.
You want me to bring it up?
Yes. Would you please?
Yeah, I'll be right up.
Thank you. Ellen, darling. Ellen, the curtains for your room have come. You remember I told you I ordered new ones? What do you think? Should we take down the old ones and put up the new ones? I'm dying to see how they look. Ellen, dear. Ellen?
Voilà, mon petit. Ne pleure pas, ne pleure pas, mon petit.
Ellen? Ellen, answer me.
Pardon, maman. Je suis occupée.
Dear God. I don't know what to do. Yes, I'm coming. I'm coming, just a minute.
Your package, Mrs. Keene.
Thank you. Thank you.
You, okay, Mrs. Keene?
What?
You look kind of peculiar.
I do.
What's the matter? Ghosts been bothering you?
Ghosts?
I told you the place was haunted.
Yes, you did, didn't you?
Didn't think they'd be getting to you so soon, though.
Look, come in for a minute, will you? Do you mind? I'd like to talk to you.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Tell me why you say this apartment is haunted.
It was just a guess.
You don't really know, do you?
No, I don't really know about this apartment, no. But I know quite a lot about ghosts from personal experience.
Tell me what you know.
Well, I guess everybody knows that ghosts are no more and no less than the spirits of the dead who won't leave the earth, right? I mean, that's pretty obvious, wouldn't you say?
I wouldn't know anything about it.
Oh, well, I thought everybody knew that. Well, that's what they are. The only difference between one ghost and another being why they won't leave the earth, why they keep coming back to haunt. And there's various reasons why.
Like what?
Well, they could be there in love with some live person who returns that love even after death. That's one reason.
What other reasons are there?
Well, there's a ghost that won't admit to death, a ghost who resents the people who've gone on living. Now, this, generally speaking, is the ghost of some person who is used to lording it over everybody in life and comes back to try to lord it over them some more. That's another reason for ghosts.
What other reasons?
Then there's the kind that just can't understand how it happened.
How what happened?
Death. Their own death. That's the kind of ghost I understand very well. My sister's one of those.
You mean your sister doesn't understand how she happened to die? Is that what you mean?
She was 12 years old. She was on her way to school. And a car came along with a drunken driver behind the wheel, and the car swerved up on the sidewalk and killed her. She never knew what happened. Before she knew anything, she was dead.
And her ghost comes back?
Every night. Every night I wake up and hear crying.
What do you do?
I try to explain it to her, but what can I say? It doesn't make any sense. A drunk in a car and her on her way to school?
No, it doesn't make any sense. It
makes more sense to kill yourself, don't you think? That way you got something to say about how you go and when. Not just leave it up to some drunk in a car. Well, that's my opinion anyway. All right, I better be getting back downstairs.
Couldn't you just stay for a little while? I don't feel like being alone right now. My husband will be home in about half an hour. He went to see somebody over on Market Street.
I can stay a little while if you like me to.
I'd appreciate it.
We'll talk about ghosts, huh? That's my favorite topic. Ghosts.
I'm looking for Mr. Draper.
I'm Mr. Draper.
I guess it's your son I'm looking for.
I don't have a son.
Oh, well, I expected. Well, I didn't know I'm Howard Keene, Ellen's father. I'd like to come in and talk to you.
Mr. Keene.
Please, it's very important or I wouldn't ask.
Come in.
Thank you very much.
Sit down if you want.
Excuse my staring at you. I expected a much younger man.
I'm 51.
It's just my age.
You said on the phone Ellen is all right.
No, I said that physically Ellen's all right. Why didn't you want to marry Ellen when you found out that she was pregnant?
I couldn't.
Well, you've got a wife?
I had a wife.
You're divorced.
Something I never talk about, Mr. Keene.
You never talked about it to Ellen?
I never talked about it to anybody. And I don't intend to.
Maybe you should.
I can't. Tell me about Ellen.
Well, she came home a little while ago. She was changed. She talked in monosyllables, short sentences at the most. We thought after what she's been through, maybe that's only natural. So my wife told her to have a bath, take a nap, and we'd have a drink, lunch. Well, while my wife and I were talking, Ellen came out of a room and spoke to us quite a long speech. And every word of it in French.
In French?
Now, Ellen doesn't know any French. You never spoke to her in French, did you?
Never. Never.
Well,
never.
I just wondered.
What did she say in French?
Well, she said she was sorry she couldn't join us for a drink, but she had to take care of a little boy.
What little boy?
I have no idea.
Mr. Keene, after an operation like the one Ellen had, don't you think it's possible that, well, that it's bound to have an effect on a woman, on her emotions, for a while anyway?
I don't want it to go on for too long, and that's why I called you.
You thought I could help?
I hoped you could. Get your coat. I've got a cab waiting outside.
Now I've told you everything I know about ghosts, Mrs. Keene. Have you seen the one that's haunting this place?
No. I'm not even sure there is one.
Well, I'll be getting on downstairs if you don't need me for anything.
Well, if you could, I'd really appreciate your helping me put these curtains up. If you have the time.
Oh, yeah, I've got a few minutes.
They're for my daughter's room. I'm not sure we should go in there. She's been resting. I'll tell you what, I'll knock on her door. If she's up, I know she'd love to see the curtains. Ellen, dear, it's Mother. The superintendent is here, and if it's all right with you, we'd like to put up the new curtains. You know, I told you before, they just came from the shop. Ellen, dear, I'm going to open the door and come in because I think you've been by yourself long enough. I really do. Ellen,
what's the matter?
Oh!
Mrs. Keene, what? Good Lord.
She's not moving.
She's not breathing.
Her eyes are wide open.
She's dead.
She's not dead. Don't say such a thing. Don't you dare say such a thing.
Mrs. Keene, what are you doing?
Calling the doctor, you fool.
Doctor won't do any good. She's dead.
Man is the only animal who knows that he will die. So said the great Voltaire. The knowledge that he will one day cease to live permeates man's days and poisons them a little. I think that if ever I am given another life, I should like to live it as a bird or a monkey or a chipmunk or a beetle. It doesn't add much to the enjoyment of life to know that it won't last long. I'll be back shortly with Act Three.
You've seen the Budweiser commercials on television, and maybe you've wondered how long people have been putting that famous Bud label on things. Well, not as long as the brewers of Bud have been putting things on the label. Things like a list of Bud's most important ingredients. Quote, brewed by our original process from the choicest hops, rice, and best barley malt. And things like the following statement. This is the famous Budweiser beer. We know of no brand produced by any other brewer which costs so much to brew and age. Our exclusive Beechwood aging produces a taste, a smoothness, and a drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. unquote. Yes, brewing beer right does make a difference. Read the Bud label, taste the King of Beers, and you'll agree, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
You're driving through town. You pass a sign you may have seen a thousand times, but never really noticed. The sign of your local American Red Cross chapter. Look behind that sign, and you'll see that the Good Neighbor is on call 24 hours a day. Not only to help when major disasters strike, but with hundreds of special and personal needs of people in trouble. People who suffer. People you know. You'll find us helping to feed and shelter people when there's a flood or a hurricane. You'll also find us teaching blind kids to swim, new citizens to learn English, and helping addicts to unravel their snarled lives. Across the country, in fact, we get involved in over 100 different helping people jobs. American Red Cross. It's working right where you live. Join us.
You'll remember I promised you a quiet little ghost story? I think I've kept my promise so far. Though, of course, in any story, there must be an explosion or two. At this moment, Mr. Keene, Ellen's father, is preparing to enter a taxi cab with Mr. Draper, Ellen's one-time lover.
You say you've been married?
Yes.
But you weren't divorced?
No.
Your wife died?
Yes.
I see. How long ago was that?
What?
How long ago did your wife die?
25 years ago.
Do you and your wife have any children?
Yes, one.
Where is the child?
Dead.
At birth?
No.
I feel a little bit like a heel asking you all these questions, but I'm concerned about my daughter.
I'm concerned, too, or I wouldn't have come with you.
I understand. I think I understand. You've never wanted to get married again, is that it?
Never.
Even after all these years?
I met my wife in Europe towards the end of the war. The big war. I'd been doing very well in business. I was on my way to making it big when I got drafted. I didn't like being drafted, but I went anyway, and she was the one bright spot in an otherwise drab and miserable army career. I brought her back here. She had a child, and they both died. I stopped making money. I started playing the piano, and I have been at it ever since then.
But you were in love with Ellen. I hope you don't mind my asking.
I don't know what that means, to be in love. I'm not saying there's no such thing, but if there is, I've forgotten, or I never knew what it's like.
I'm very sorry for you.
It's very kind of you, but don't bother.
Cedar Terrace is the next right turn, driver.
Are we nearly there?
Next right, about half a mile. My wife and I just moved in. We wanted to do something for Ellen. We heard through friends about this marvelous apartment that was suddenly available, a penthouse of all things.
Penthouse B, you said?
Yeah, we took it on an impulse, thinking it'd be something for Ellen to come home to take her mind off everything. You know, what she'd been through.
And did it?
Well, no. No, she's hardly said a word about the place since I brought her home from the airport. She's hardly said anything about anything. Just a few words of French and that one thing about not being able to have a drink with us before lunch because she had to look after a little boy.
How could she speak French when she doesn't know any French? And what little boy did she have to look after? I don't understand any of it. Not any.
Hold on. We're almost there. Maybe Ellen will be all right, more of herself anyway, and then you can ask her. You just hang in there for a couple of minutes more.
Dr. Stone, what's wrong with Ellen?
Mrs. Keene, I can't detect any vital signs at all. I hesitate to pronounce her dead, but what can I say? I can find no pulse, no heartbeat, no reflexes. I've done everything I can think of. Injection, massage.
She's not dead. Tell me she's not dead.
Like you, I refuse to conclude that at the moment. But if your daughter is alive, Mrs. Keene, she is in the deepest coma I've ever encountered. It's as though she were not in or out of this world at all.
It's that tall building on the corner, driver, number 42.
A very tall building.
How's that?
I said it's a tall building.
Well, compared to the way they build them nowadays, it's not so tall, but I guess when they put it up, it was considered pretty daring. Hey, hey, what do you think you're doing?
I can't. I just can't.
You get back in there. Driver, driver, stop the cab. Hey, stop.
You can't go up there. I can't.
I don't care if you can or can't. You're going to. Now, march. Don't you try anything now. I got hold of you.
I can't do it.
You let me pay the cab. Here you are, driver. Now you get going.
Mr. Keene, I know you think this is very strange.
You bet I think it's very strange.
I can explain.
After you've seen my daughter, you can explain. Now you get in the elevator there. Right now, Ellen's the only one I'm interested in. Push that button that says penthouse.
Penthouse B.
That's right.
Mrs. Keene, if Ellen isn't dead, and I'm still not convinced, then she's either in a very, very deep coma or... here I'm getting into territory that I don't understand at all. She's in a trance.
A trance?
We hear of these things, people who can control their body functions. I was told of a man who could make one half of his arm stone cold and the other half blood warm. He could do it at will, or so I was told.
I can't believe it. Do you believe it?
Mrs. Keene, there isn't a doctor alive today who would deny the power the human mind has over the human body.
But... oh, that must be my husband.
Yeah, well, I'll want to talk to him.
I'll only be a second. Yes, I'm coming. Howard. Mr. Draper?
That's him.
I'm Ellen's mother. Howard, I called Dr. Stone. He's with Ellen now. He wants to talk to you.
I'm in here, Mrs. Keene.
Dr. Stone, how is she?
She shows no vital signs of life at all.
You don't mean that she's dead? Oh, no, she can't be dead. Emily, what happened?
Mr. Keene, we don't know precisely what happened, and I don't... well, for some reason I can't really explain. I don't think she's dead. Either she's in a deep coma or she's in a trance state.
Well, what's that, a trance state?
It's something medical men know very little about. So I want your permission to take her to the hospital. Have her examined by another doctor there. And if he gives us no convincing diagnosis, we'll call in a psychic healer.
You have our permission to do anything you have to.
Of course.
All right, I'll call an ambulance.
Mr. Draper, I've been very rude. We've paid no attention to you at all. Thank you so much for coming.
It's quite all right.
You can see we're beside ourselves with worry.
Yes, I can see that.
There's an ambulance service. There's Dr. Stone.
Mrs. Keene, do you suppose that I could see Ellen?
Oh, I don't think so. Not now.
Why didn't somebody wake me up?
Ellen.
Thank you.
Darling.
Is it time for lunch?
Ellen. How do you feel?
Dr. Stone. What are you doing here? And John. You know, it's funny. I thought I heard your voice, but then I decided I must have imagined it.
Yeah, but how do you feel, Ellen?
Well, I feel perfectly fine. I had a wonderful sleep.
You're sure you feel all right?
Well, I just told you I feel fine. I was
tired when Daddy brought me home from the airport, but I had a lovely nap, and now I'm fine. But what are you doing here? And John, how did you get here? How did you know where to come?
Your father, he told me.
Oh, really? Oh, that was nice. Then you've met.
Yes, we've met.
You'll stay for lunch, won't you, John?
Mother, is that all right? Is there enough for John, too?
Yes, dear, there's enough. But first, don't you think you ought to bathe and change your clothes?
I guess I should. I was going to do that before, wasn't I? When I first got here. But then I got busy with something or other, and I forgot all about it.
You want me to come with you, dear?
That would be nice. We haven't had a chance to talk, have we?
No, but we will.
See you off for lunch.
Yes, Ellen.
You'll stay, Mr. Draper?
I'm not sure that I can.
Please do. Ellen seems to want you to.
Mr. Keene, I don't know any of the whys or wherefores, but your daughter seems to be all right.
Yes, she seems to be.
I'm going back to my office. I'll be there all afternoon. If anything happens to alarm you, please call me. I can be here in 5 minutes.
Thank you, Dr. Stone.
No, no, don't bother to come to the door. I'll let myself out.
I'm glad she's all right.
I suppose you don't believe there was ever anything wrong.
I don't know.
After all, you didn't see her when she was... well, the way she was.
I know your daughter very well, Mr. Keene. I know what a sensitive girl she is. I told you in the taxi that I didn't believe I knew the meaning of being in love. Now I'm not so sure. I think I was, in my own neurotic way, in love with Ellen. We were very close.
Well, why did you make such a fuss about coming here? Why did you try to jump out of the cab? What was that all about?
I had been here before.
When? When were you ever here?
I used to live here.
In this apartment?
Penthouse B, yes.
Well, when was this?
25 years ago.
You lived here with your wife?
Huh?
And your child?
Yes.
And your child was a little boy?
Yes.
How old was the child when he died?
2 years old.
And your wife, how old was she?
21.
They both died while you were living here. I can see why you wouldn't want to come with me.
It's not just that they died.
Well, what was it?
It was the way they died.
Tell me about it.
When I came back from Europe, I started up in business again. The business which the war had so rudely interrupted. I was determined to work my way up the ladder again, and I threw myself into my work. I think my wife felt neglected. Truth is, I did neglect her. But it wasn't just my neglect. She was a foreigner. Even after 3 years, she hadn't learned to speak English. She was shy. She didn't make friends. She was alone a great deal, except for the child. And one night, I was at my desk working over some papers when she came into the room with a child in her arms. She spoke to me. I don't remember what she said, but I remember that she spoke to me. I had every intention of answering her, but I didn't want to be bothered at that precise moment. Half a minute later, I turned around and she wasn't there. She had jumped from the terrace. She had jumped from the terrace with the child in her arms.
Good Lord. Do you think it's possible? I know how far-fetched it sounds, but is it possible that the little boy Ellen told us she had to look after was the ghost of your son?
I don't know what else to think. Do you?
Tell me something. What nationality was your wife?
My wife is French. It all begins to fit together, doesn't it? When you stop and think about it.
When you stop and think about it, you don't want to stop and think about it? That such things don't bear thinking about? All right, don't stop. Go right on doing the things you've always done. Waking in the morning, putting in the hours until it's time to go to sleep again. Don't, for an instant of your busy day, think about such things. But that won't make the things go away. Now, will it? I'll return shortly.
You've been hearing some pretty lavish claims recently about miles per gallon. We'd like you to consider something equally important, and that's range. Range is the miles per gallon multiplied by the number of gallons your car's tank holds. Range is what makes the Buick Apollo such a special small car. It comes from coupling the Apollo's economical six-cylinder engine with a standard 21-gallon tank. It holds a lot, but it doesn't use a lot. Look into the Apollo. It's the Buick of small cars.
Hi, Ms. Goldilocks here. Professionally, taste-testing diet drinks can be very difficult, but I've just had to bear with it. Then I found sugar-free diet 7-Up. It doesn't taste like other diet drinks. It's fresh, light, natural, delicious. Sugar-free diet 7-Up tastes so good that I've taste-tested it hundreds of times, and each time I've given it my seal of approval. Yes, this one's just right.
Big-faced in the morning, Kellogg's. Kellogg's has that wholesome taste to get you up and grinning.
This is Jerry Coffer for Kellogg's Special K. We've been having some fun in our television and radio commercials by using a ball and chain to symbolize the slight overweight problem common to so many of us. We point out that being a few pounds overweight is just a little more difficult for you. Climbing stairs, just walking around, even sitting down can feel, well, like you're wearing a ball and chain. In case you missed the message, it's this. If you really want to get rid of that extra weight, you really have to work at it by exercising and with sensible meals like the Special K breakfast. A 1-ounce bowl of Special K, America's favorite high-protein cereal, 4 ounces of skim milk, tomato juice, and coffee, less than 240 calories, nutritious, and by the way, delicious. So why not begin each day with a Special K breakfast and then keep up the good work? Special K can't help you lose weight all by itself, but it really is a good start.
That was a quiet little ghost story, wasn't it? Just as I said it would be. Personally, I prefer ghost stories to be quiet. For ghosts, generally speaking, having no physical equipment, tend to be quiet. But like so many living people who are quiet, ghosts are also tenacious and persistent. And they are everywhere. Our cast included Rosemary Murphy, Arnold Moss, Mason Adams, Corrine Orr, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division, the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal, and new sugar-free diet 7-Up. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Listen to Mystery Theater again tomorrow night. Same time, same station.
Oh,
sound of better music. This is KIXI, dial 91 AM or 96 FM, Seattle.
The time, 12 midnight.
CBS News. In Israel, the reaction is less than one of jubilance, and in Syria, the government is playing down the news after both nations reached an historic peace agreement. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The agreement worked out with the help of Secretary of State Kissinger means Syria and Israel will stop fighting along the Golan Front, thin out their troops, and agree to put a UN buffer force between them. The news got only a secondary mention on Syrian radio. In Israel, the government expressed relief, but reaction of the people was more subdued. Bruno Wassertile reports from Jerusalem.
There's no dancing in the streets, no fireworks going off in Israel to mark the announcement that a separation of forces with Syria has been reached. But there is a general feeling of relief, relief that the fighting on the Golan Heights will finally come to an end, relief at the fact that the Israeli prisoners of war will be home by next week. There is also hope that the separation of forces, which will be linked with a new proximity of Syrian and Israeli civilian populations on the Golan Heights, may create a new atmosphere that will help to break down some of the hatred and distrust that has built up between the two sides in the last 25 years. Many Israelis, however, feel that the Jewish state has paid too high a price for disengagement, a price that will cost Israel dearly if hopes for peace do not work out and the Middle East once again plunges into another war. Bruno Wassertile for CBS News in Jerusalem.
More news after this message.
Your contributions to care have given help and hope to millions of needy people around the world. When they were hungry, you nourished them. When they were thirsty, you brought them safe water to drink. When they were sick, you made them well. When they were homeless, you provided them shelter. When they could not read, you helped build their school. When they were without hope, you showed them how to help themselves. CARE, the International Aid and Development Organization. By helping one human being anywhere, you help mankind everywhere. People who need care need your help.
Please send your dollars to CARE, Department 2, New York, 10016.
The House Judiciary Committee has ended 8 days of closed hearings, concluding the first phase of its inquiry into the possible impeachment of President Nixon. The hearings centered around the question of the president's role in Watergate. Thursday, the committee meets to consider whether to warn the president that his refusal to comply with subpoenas for tapes might lead to a conclusion the president is withholding vital information. In several White House statements of refusal to turn over tapes and other material, executive privilege has been cited. Senator Sam Ervin, chairman of the Watergate Committee, says the people are entitled to the information.
I think that the taxpayers pay the cost of accumulating information. And I don't think that that information is a private possession of a president of the United States or anybody in the executive branch of the government. And I think that Congress is entitled to information collected at the expense of taxpayers if that information is necessary to enable Congress to legislate wisely.
Ervin appeared at the National Press Club in Washington Wednesday. There was trouble Wednesday night in the streets of Londonderry, Northern Ireland. The British Army says about 100 persons threw bottles and rocks at British troops in a Catholic section of the city. The troops were searching for a sniper believed hit in an exchange of fire. Earlier Wednesday, the British government reimposed direct rule in Northern Ireland after a 2-week general strike by militant Protestants. The action toppled a coalition of moderate Catholic and Protestant politicians. The government's index of leading business indicators took a sharp drop last month after 3 months of solid gains. The Commerce Department reported the index fell 0.7%. Herbert Stein, President Nixon's chief economic advisor, predicts there will soon be a substantial reduction of inflation rates around the world. Now this.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
To your love.
But give your allergy to contact.
Allergy is our business, too. We know pollen.
And we know that any of the 12,000 quarts of air you breathe each day may contain enough pollen to make your eyes itch, make you sneeze, and drip. We also know an ingredient that helps block pollen's bad effects. It's the antihistamine most prescribed by allergy specialists. It's an ingredient in Contact.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
To your love.
The tiny time pills in one Contact keep this antihistamine working up to 12 full hours. All day, all night.
Give your allergy to Contact.
Take Contact only when needed, only as directed.
Apparently trying to run for public office while behind bars is no easy task. A man who tried it has given up. Danny Trask, an inmate in Maine, tried to get 5,000 signatures on petitions so he could run for governor as the candidate of the Poor People's Party. Apparently Trask failed and wrote a letter to Maine's Secretary of State announcing his withdrawal from the race. In the same letter, Trask requested he be sent another form, one to make an appeal for a cut in his sentence. Trask is serving 20 years for robbery. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for the Great Northwest, KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle. The weather outlook for Seattle, Tacoma, Everdon vicinity. Night and morning low clouds with local drizzle or occasional light rain. Otherwise, variable cloudiness Thursday and Friday, with a chance of showers increasing, especially Friday. Low temperatures tonight and Thursday night in the upper 40s. Highs Thursday and Friday in the low 60s. South to southwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour, with higher afternoon gusts. 51 degrees at both SeaTac and downtown Seattle.
Oh.